And now WCHL presents Today's Business with your host, Jeremy Salemson. And now with Today's Business, here is Jeremy Salemson.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Today's Business right here on 1360 WCHL. I am Jeremy Salemson, your host, and I could not be more excited to welcome to the studio this week two extraordinary individuals, Diane and Dan Sugars. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeremy. Thanks for having us.
Thanks,
well,
Jeremy.
Let me tell you why I'm so excited to have these two here. Not only are they extraordinary people as individuals, but they are also, and just for disclosure and transparency purposes, my coaches in the world of triathlon. We wanted to really get together and talk about this fantastic world that is health, wellness, well-being, and triathlons, because it is such an exponentially growing sport here in the U.S. Diane and Dan have such an amazing background, both from a professional standpoint as it relates to medical, as they are both dentists, as well as their involvement in the world of triathlons. We're going to talk to them today about all aspects of this as well. So guys, welcome to the show again. Thank you so much for being here. I think my first question to both of you is just give us a bit of background in terms of your background as it relates to the medical profession of dentistry and how you've transitioned into being such active participants in this wonderful world that we call triathlons.
Jeremy, thanks for the opportunity to come in. We share your passion for this sport and are excited to have the opportunity. My background is probably similar to a lot of people that get into triathlon. Back in the early 70s, I got into the running boom. I found that I got injured just running, started doing too much overuse injuries, and I started looking for other ways to exercise. I turned to the swimming pool, enjoyed that, and then this thing called triathlon came around in the 1980s, and I thought I'd give that a try. No pun intended. But after that, I got hooked. It was a wonderful way, a wonderful lifestyle. It helped me maintain balance in terms of maintaining orthopedic health and not getting injured all the time. So that was became a big part of my life. I've also been in education now for 35 years. I consider that a privilege and an honor. And actually, our coaching business was an intersection of these two passions. In teaching, I always felt that each student was an individual, and I viewed them as a lock. And as a teacher, my challenge was to find their individual combination to help them to unlock that and help them find their full potential. So it was a natural marriage between my passion for triathlon and my passion for teaching to go the next step and combine the two. And that's what got me into triathlon coaching.
Sure. Now, you and Diane obviously met. You've been married for quite some time, both coming from the same background in terms of dentistry as well. Diane, tell us about your involvement in the world of triathlon and how much of an impact did Dan have on your decision to get into the sport?
Great question, Jeremy. I come from the opposite spectrum. Dan was an athlete in college and had been in athletics all of his life. I came from the couch potato end, where for me, athletics was 1 year of cheerleading in junior high school. So I got involved with triathlon only after meeting Dan about 25 years ago. And started to realize that date night involved one of the three sports of triathlon, swimming, cycling, or running. So I entered my first triathlon about 20 years ago, and it just so happened there were only two people in my age group, and I got second place, even though I walked and ran the run portion.
Right.
So after that great big trophy, I was hooked. So anyway, since that time, we both have done probably over 100 triathlons, and
wow,
we just love the sport. It's such camaraderie, such variety of effort. It's just amazing to us, and we continue to love it.
Sure. Well, and it is. I mean, I've certainly loved it as well, and it becomes a lifestyle. You know, it's not just you're training for a sport. Dan, you mentioned it earlier. It's injury prevention as well, but it's really sort of this whole approach to healthy living and lifestyle and just making sure that both physically and mentally, because obviously there's a huge mental aspect of this that we'll talk about later as well. You know, the world of triathlons and triathletes has really grown exponentially over the past few years. And we'll talk about sort of the business business aspect of that later on in the show. But what do you think one of the reasons has been that we've seen such growth, both here in the U.S. as well as across the globe? Obviously, aside from the Ironman brand and what they're doing to make it sort of a corporate approach, what do you think the main reasons are for the growth here in the U.S.?
I think there are a myriad of reasons. There was a physician, philosopher, guru back in the 70s by the name of George Sheehan that talked about in modern day society, man's gotten away from their physical side. And he argued that we needed to tap into the animal part of our nature. And so he made the point that in today's society, people want to be more physical. So I think that's one driving force. I think a second is that we all love challenges. Going into a new sport, triathlon, you explore new challenges, things you've not done before. And people like to set goals and attain new achievements. And so I think goal setting and achieving challenges are very important. I think a third part is that triathlon is a social outlet. You train with other people. You spend time with other people. You work out together. You go to races. You go to events. So there's a social component. Yeah. The fourth part that I think is attractive to people is that to balance these things, it's an intellectual challenge to think through how you're going to do the different activities, work them into your schedule, and how you can continue to improve in those areas. So I think those are four reasons or driving forces, if you will, that are helping move along people in society.
Yeah, well, and you bring up a good point, Dan. I think as we get a bit older, there are fewer and fewer opportunities, especially if you grew up in the team sport mentality, to get that camaraderie and to get that activity and that challenge, if you will. And the world of triathlon has done that, I think, very well for a lot of people. Dan, you've got some statistics for us, if you will, from the USAT and what that's all about. Can you give some of those to us?
Sure. Just to give you a little bit of background about triathlon. The first triathlon was, modern-day triathlon, was held in San Diego in 1974, and it involved only about 46 participants. And it really didn't attract a lot of mainstream interest until the first Hawaii Ironman, and that's the one that we see on TV, and that's held in October. And it was first held in 1975 and had only 18 individuals, of which 12 individuals completed it. So from that point of view, that was televised. Later on, it's become mainstream. In North Carolina, we have the largest production company, setupevents.com, that produces the largest number of triathlons at different distances involving the greatest number of participants in the United States.
Right.
One good thing about triathlon is that it's a sport that anyone of any size, any gender, any shape can participate in. It's not one where you have to be necessarily highly fit or have a collegiate sport background. It's a sport for anyone.
Absolutely. And Diane, I got to stop you there for 1 second. We're going to take our first commercial break. When we come back, I want to continue that thought process. I also want to talk a little bit about some of the different distances as well within the different triathlon groups, and as well as talk about the business aspect of what it means to be today and sort of some of this exponential growth that we've seen behind this. You're listening to Diane and Dan Sugars from here in Chapel Hill. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Today's Business right here on 1360 WCHL.
This is Today's Business, an exclusive presentation of News Talk 1360 WCHL. Now more of today's show with Jeremy Salemson.
Hello and welcome back to our second segment this week. We're back here on Today's Business on 1360 WCHL. And I am certainly glad to welcome back to the studio Diane and Dan Sugars. Guys, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jeremy.
It's good to have you back. So, Dan, as we were just discussing before, Diane was giving us some insight into sort of the types of individuals that certainly can get into the sport. If you wouldn't mind sort of chiming in a bit more about that as well.
I think Diane raises a very good point. For your listeners to realize that you don't have to be a pro. You don't have to be this perfect athlete to compete in triathlon. In fact, it's actually the opposite. All sizes, shapes, colors, as Diane mentioned. They have programs here in Chapel Hill. We're fortunate to have great resources in the Triangle area where they have Swim for Smiles program for kids. On the other end of the continuum, up until a few years ago, the USAT partnered with AARP, and they actually had specific triathlons for older people. Nice. So my point there is that it runs the entire age spectrum. You see men and women. There are women-only races. So it's open for all sorts of people. You don't have to be an Ironman. In fact, just a small number of the triathletes try to do the long distances. There are a whole range of distances for these people to fit into. And Diane can share with you some of the distances.
Yeah, Diane, let's talk about those specifically, because I think for people to really understand, a lot of the media, you'll hear about the Ironman races and the Ironman distances. But really, as you mentioned, Dan, that's a very, very small percentage of those that want to put in the time and the training for that. But for those that really want to get into it, let's talk about some of the shorter distances races that are a little more appealing to those individuals.
Sure, Jeremy. Probably the most popular distance is the short distance known as sprint. And this typically will entail a swim of between 300 and 500 yards or so. It may be a swim in a pool, which it's a great way to start, or it could be a swim in the ocean or lake. The bike is usually between 9 and 15 miles, and then there's a 2 or 3 mile run at the end. This is the most popular distance, and it's a great distance if you are a first-timer. From this point on, the distances increase to the next popular size is the Olympic one, and this is what you see in the U.S. Olympics, where triathlon is now an Olympic sport, and it's where the bike is about 1 mile long. It's a 1 mile swim, a 25-mile bike, and a 6.2-mile run or 10K. And then you've got, again, variations of that all the way up to what we know as the Ironman distance, which is a 2.4-mile open water swim, 112-mile bike, and then a marathon at the end, which is 26.2 miles.
And you also then, you've got the half Ironman distance as well, which of course is half that distance, sort of the 1.2-mile swim to start off with, a 56-mile bike, and then a 13.1-mile run. Now, just one note, the Olympic distance is also known as the international distance. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Because sometimes you'll hear that referred to as well. So you've really got sort of four distinct distances within the world of triathlons. And so for those people, as you pointed out, getting into it, obviously it would make sense to start. I remember when I did my first 10 years ago, I did the Azalea Coast Sprint Triathlon. The swim was in a pool. I rode a mountain bike. And I stumbled across the finish line with Jennifer at the time and really had done very little training. But it was one of these things that I thought, what a fantastic feeling as I'm finishing these three events as well. And you don't have to spend a tremendous amount of money coming out of the gate to get involved. Talk a little bit about sort of the variances that go into. I mean, obviously, you can spend, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on a nice bike and all these other things, but you don't have to as you at least begin to get your feet wet. Talk about that, Dan, if you will.
For someone who's not done a triathlon before, there are lots of opportunities here in the Triangle area, as I mentioned before. If you can get in a pool, there are some good community resources here. You obviously have to have a swimsuit and a pair of goggles and a towel. You need to find a bike. If you're not committed to buying one, you certainly can borrow one. And then running, you get a pair of running shoes from the local running store, and you're good to go for not very much money at all. So it really is not a huge financial burden to break the ice and get into the sport.
Sure, absolutely. You know, when we talk about the three disciplines of sports, you've got swim, then bike, then run, and it's always in that order, correct? You never see variances. But there are some things called aqua bikes, right? Or we talk about sort of the different distances. Can you talk about some of those as well? Duathlons?
Yeah, let's, along with the typical triathlon, which is swim, bike, run, there are different variations of those because some people are not swimmers. So there's a series that's been established that is duathlon, which is a swim-bike combination, no water involved. A bike-run.
Bike-run, okay.
Bike-run, with no swimming involved. Then there's an aquabike series, which is a swim-bike, and that's particularly good for us older individuals whose knees are beginning to wear and tear, and perhaps we may have been injured or not running.
Right.
And then there are the combination of the swim and the run called an aquathon.
Okay.
So those are the main classes, variations of triathlon.
Yes, Dan.
And in our crazy world, all this has been extended. They now have an Xterra series where all this is done out in the wilderness, and you swim in shark-infested waters.
Not really.
Ride through the outback of wherever.
And swim to space, you know, to the moon and back.
And so, you know, the events are only limited by the human imagination.
Right, right.
And people, as I said earlier, love challenges. And so they are continually raising the bar on the level of what I think is craziness and the extreme sport part of it. But triathlon and multisport is expanding in ways beyond the traditional distances and swim, bike, run that Diane mentioned.
Sure. And that's, I think, when we think of triathlon and multisport, typically what comes to mind is the swim, bike, run combination as well. But obviously, as more and more people are getting into it, they're looking for different ways to get more people involved. And to your point, Diane, there are some people that perhaps may not like or enjoy one or two of those disciplines as much. And so they're going to look for options that are more suited to their needs as well. Before we have to take our second commercial break, I want to talk briefly about the swim portion. Talk about just how great swimming is for you, regardless of whether or not you get into triathlons, but from a training perspective for life. Dan, if you wouldn't mind chiming in on that.
Well, as one who has logged probably 50, 60,000 miles in my legs of running, it's good to be able to not be on your feet all the time. So one of the things that I enjoy about swimming is that it's non-weight bearing, and it allows you to use your muscles and get exercise, work your upper body. Biking and running obviously are more lower body. Swimming allows you to use your upper body. And I find it also very relaxing to be in the water. It's just a nice balance.
Yeah, Diane?
Also, swimming is a sport that you can continue until the day you drop, the day you die. So you may not feel comfortable riding outside with the traffic, or you may not be able to run anymore, but most of us can still swim and get a good health benefit from that.
Absolutely. And just last piece as well, obviously, you know, from a swimming perspective, it's critical that your form is good because it's all about efficiency in the water. And we'll talk about the coaching aspect in our last segment in terms of how important that is to make sure that when you learn to swim, you're doing it properly so that you can get the most benefit out of the sport itself. We've got to take our second commercial break. You're listening to Today's Business right here on 1360 WCHL.
This is Today's Business, an exclusive presentation of News Talk 1360 WCHL. Now more of today's show with Jeremy Salemson.
Hello and welcome back to our final segment this week. We're back on Today's Business here on 1360 WCHL, back with Diane and Dan Sugars. Guys, welcome back for our final segment.
Hey, Jim.
So as we were just discussing prior to, obviously, you know, a range of experience in individuals as they get into the sport, the novice specifically, though, there's so much technical need and expertise that needs to go in this that it's important to look for, as you mentioned, Dan, a mentor or a coach. Talk a bit about your philosophy as it relates to that and some advice into the world of people just getting into the sport.
I think our recommendation would be for anyone considering doing a triathlon would be to identify a mentor, a coach, an experienced triathlete to try to give them some technique instruction in each of the areas. I can't tell you the number of hours we spend with, quote, experienced triathletes helping them unlearn bad habits. So develop good habits early, and that's with good and proper technique. Technique trumps strength any day. So I think triathletes at all levels need to be aware of that, and I need to remind myself as well.
Sure. And, you know, it's not, as you mentioned many times before, it's not just about talent, right? It's really about sort of the mental approach and what are you willing to do? How well are you willing to listen? And how well do you communicate? Diane, talk a little bit about sort of your philosophy, both as coaches. How do you approach either athletes that you're looking at or as they're looking at you from a coaching perspective, some advice that you would have when people are looking for different mentors or coaches?
Well, for me, the coach-athlete relationship is very special. It's almost like a marriage. There needs to be trust. You need to be able to trust the coach that they have a plan that's oriented towards you that will help you meet your goals. You, as an athlete, need to check the coach's credentials, their experience in the background. Have they coached the type of athlete who you are? A beginner athlete or more advanced, the distances that you are. Ask for references and speak to some of the current clients that a coach has. Ask to look for some sample workout plans and tell them how much time reasonably that you have to devote to triathlon training. And then the coach will sequence the workouts so that you can be at your very best for your key race for that time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just the last thing, too, that I would like to chime in about, and personalities, I think, play a big part into it as well. You know, you can have the most dedicated coach, and they can be the biggest expert in the world, but if the personalities don't mesh well and their philosophies don't mesh well with an athlete, then perhaps it's not going to be a good marriage as well. So I think all of those considerations go into the equation in terms of having a successful partnership. Diane and Dan Sugars, thank you so much for being here today. Not only are you just tremendous people, but you've been fantastic coaches for me and certainly for the community as well. And keep up the great work. And thank you so much for your time and expertise today.
Thanks so much for the opportunity, Jeremy.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And as we sort of leave our listeners as well, if you want to find out more just about the world of triathlon, you can certainly do so on the web at usatriathlon.org. And as always, we want to thank you for listening to Today's Business right here on 1360 WCHL. I'm Jeremy Salemson, and we'll see you next time.